Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to lift up praise and celebration to God this morning. We want to especially express a word of thanks to Tom Bosworth and David Ekrit and Ron Wolf and others who have blessed us with the fact that all four of our air conditioning units in the sanctuary are now working. Praise God. Tom, thank you. I tell you what, we are just blessed and truly grateful for that, are we not? Right, you bet. We want to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad, if you will, and pass that on to your neighbors. Please be mindful of all the activities going on in the life of the church as you look through the announcement page in your bulletin. And the big highlight for the day is that we have our all-church picnic taking place here this afternoon, 4 o'clock. We'll be meeting in the area here to the backside of the building. If we do end up having one of those little thunderstorms come through, we'll just make our way into the fellowship hall. So please join us this afternoon. Elders, be mindful of the elders' meeting Wednesday the 7th, 6 o'clock. Final pictures for the directory. That's this Sunday and, of course, also next Sunday. We really would like to get those last few pictures that we still need taken. So if we've not gotten your photograph, please go down to the fellowship hall after the service today and help us with that, as we sure would like to get that directory information completed so we can get it put together and available to everyone. We are always grateful for everyone's assistance with the food pantry, and the items that are needed are listed there in the bulletin. And of course, we have the Clay County Clothes Closet distributions that we're making, and your assistance with that is deeply appreciated. And of course, the prints for Dorenda Hoke's picture that I've been mentioning the last several weeks, announcement is also there in your bulletin. Next Sunday, the 11th of June, we will be having a congregational meeting immediately after this service, and the purpose of it will be to vote on the employment of having a KCPD uniformed officer to provide security for our services on Sunday mornings. That flyer in your bulletin gives you more details. If you have any questions, I'm probably the person who knows more about this than anyone else, so just give me a call, because I'm the one who's been in connection with the officer with the Kansas City Police Department who coordinates the officers who do this off-duty work. So please, call if you got any questions. Again, our thanks also this morning, as Jonathan Dorm is once again with us in this service. He is serving as our organist, and of course, Gail is serving as our music director. And so for your assistance, both of you, we are indeed grateful. Thank you. And I'd like to call upon Anna, as she has a word to share with us about Vacation Bible School.
Good morning. Most of you guys know that I'm Anna Ekrit, and I would like to talk to you about Vacation Bible School, more well known as VBS. This year our theme is Hero Hotline, and it's called Together to Serve God. Our hero verse is, "So let's strive for all things to bring peace and the things that will build each other up," Romans 14:19. There's no other verse that I could think of that would be more important for our young people to learn and to strive on and grow on than that in what's all going on in the world today, is other than to build each other up. So most of you guys keep asking me questions, so I thought I'd put it together a little Q&A. When is VBS? Monday, July 17th through Friday, July 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. And what is Vacation Bible School? It is a week-long program for 3 hours. I was corrected earlier. 3 hours each day, and it's open for four-year-olds to fifth graders. And we enjoy them all. It's filled with storytelling, crafts, songs, games, but most importantly, it's about spreading God's love into our young people. Another question is, do you have to come up with teaching ideas or materials? Nope. You don't, I have everything put together for you. If you volunteer to be a teacher, everything's in a nice little folder separated by day. All your paperwork is right there. I don't think I could entertain kids for 3 hours for 5 days. Don't worry, you don't have to do that. Everything is pretty much split into 20-minute groups. Our teachers lead each kid from area to area. We do have a 20-minute class time, but trust me, that time flies by whenever you get to that classroom. So it doesn't seem like it very long at all. And why don't we have evening VBS? Well, I want to reach as many kiddos as possible, and a lot of people, whenever during the summer, whenever they get off work, they want to go home, spend some family time with their kids before the next day. So we find that we reach more kiddos and open to more people during the afternoon, or morning and afternoon. Next question is, what is my favorite thing about VBS? My favorite thing is to watch the kiddos. That I've had kiddos in my classes that I've watched grow from 3 and 4 year olds who did not want to be here to leaders and youth leaders and now teachers. So watching those kids grow in Christ is what I enjoy the most. And another question is I can't be there during those hours, and I don't know if I can assist in any way you might need help. Is there anything I can do? Good question. And yes, there is. I need people to help decorate, set up, clean up, donate cookies, fruits, vegetables, and always, always need prayers for our students and our leaders. Trust me. And just so you guys know, Roscoe was 100 years old when he volunteered for Vacation Bible School. So I'm just saying. And he sat back there as a door greeter and greeted the kids every day and greeted the kids as they left every evening. Had wonderful stories, and if he can do it, any of us can. So if you have any questions or have any kids that would like to come, it is open to everybody. There is flyers in the back. If you would like to pick one up, hand it to your neighbor's kids, invite them. We are welcome to everybody. And if you guys have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to ask me. I'm always willing to talk.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Sing a new song to the Lord. Praise him in the assembly of his faithful.
Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator.
Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King.
Praise the Lord. And now we'll do our opening hymn. It is found on page 90. Come, Christians, join to sing all verses.
Thank you.
Holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to offer you praise and worship this Lord's Day. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and our words of praise will be acceptable in your sight, in worship and also in deed. For it is in Christ's name that we seek your guidance. Amen. Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May we have our children come forward for the children's message.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here.
Morning. How are you guys this morning? Good? Good? So, before I tell my story, I have some sad news. My friend Maddie here, this is going to be her and her sister's last day with us, and I'm going to miss them in our children and youth. They're moving. We're going to miss you. We miss all of you. Okay, on to happier things here. Do you know what I mean when I say we're going to talk about the golden rule? You feel like you do? I'll bet you do too, because I'll bet your parents tell you this stuff. Do unto others as you would have them do to you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. Yeah. You know what? There is lots of places in the Bible where it says this. It doesn't always say it that exact way. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite places says, whatever you sow, that is also what you will reap. What does all that mean? Do you know what all that means? Well, when it says whatever you sow, sow is planting. Whatever you plant, that's what you will reap. That's what you will grow. If I plant carrots, what do you think is going to grow? Carrots. Yeah. Imagine that. If I plant corn, what's going to grow? Corn? Exactly. Exactly. So, what it means is, if you want to be treated with love and kindness and patience, then you have to treat others with love and kindness and patience. Nobody wants to be kind and loving if we're mean and angry. Yeah, that's what I say. Ew. Nobody wants to do that, do they? No. Exactly. So if we want to be treated with love and kindness, we have to be love and loving and kind to others. If I plant an onion, I'm not going to get a banana, am I? Nope. So, okay, should we have a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful summer day and these children. Help us always to remember that whatever we give to others, that's what we will receive back. Help us to always remember to take your love and your grace and your kindness and share it as we go through life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we go calmly and quietly?
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, first of all, our thanks to everyone who assisted with the service for Catherine O'Neill yesterday. And in our prayers this week, may we please lift up Don and Judy Thomas, as Don was in the hospital for several days this past week, but able to return home yesterday. Evelyn Prusner is at North Kansas City Hospital dealing with some heart and breathing concerns. We also rejoice in the fact that Tom Taylor was here this morning, and so was Leighton Walls, both at the early service. Both are recovering, and we were so grateful to see them. We were hoping to see Jerry and Peggy Treese this morning, but I don't see them here. We were saying that if Jerry made it back right along with Tom, that would be a tie as far as both of them making it back after knee surgery. But keep Jerry and Peggy in your prayers, too. We lift up Ron Kennedy and Susan Hanks and Shirley and Ed Keel, Jean and Betty Lundy. We also continue to keep in prayer Jerry and Betty Donahue, Philip Woods, Alice Estes, Rihanna Ralston, Johnny Sturwalt, and Michelle Vels, among others, whom we've been lifting up week by week. May we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious and loving God, as your children, we humbly bow our heads in prayer, confidently knowing your Spirit offers daily guidance and comfort. As we focus our attention on you and center our hope in the example set forth by your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we find comfort in the peace we know that Jesus desires to offer us. For we remember how Jesus said, while still at the Lord's table with his disciples, even as the prospect of violent death clouded over him, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." And even as we may face tragedy in the course of our daily living, may we take to heart, knowing that the forces of evil will never overtake us. For Christ has already won the victory over sin and death because of his own sacrifice, death, resurrection, and ascension. We remember that Jesus said, in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And as each of us in our own repentance strive to overcome the evil that may lurk even in the deep recesses of our own hearts and souls, let us remember that in claiming Christ as Lord, we too have overcome not only sin and death, but evil influences as well. For the Apostle John claims in 1 John chapter 5 that every child of God is able to defeat the world, and we win the victory over the world by means of our faith. Thus, we offer this prayer with assurance and confidence, O God, as we recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I wanted to share a little story before I played. So the Old Rugged Cross is one of my favorite hymns. The reason is I moved from Pennsylvania all the way over to California when I was in the seventh grade. So I was in a new state, didn't know anybody, and we had a small apartment, but we brought over an upright piano. And my mom gave me this book in the seventh grade, and the first song I opened to and played was the Old Rugged Cross. And I loved it because the hymn talks about the cross being an emblem of suffering and shame and the blood, but it's in a major, happy key. This arrangement starts off in a minor, sad key to talk about how the cross is a symbol of so much pain and suffering that goes on. But that's not the full story, because the hymn goes on to say, I'll exchange that cross for a crown, and it brings me so much joy. So I hope you enjoy this arrangement of the Old Rugged Cross that's been with me since I've been in the seventh grade.
Thank you.
Every time we sing the hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, my mind harkens back to my teenage years. And listening to Mr. and Mrs. Thomas sing this hymn during services in the church I grew up. Mr. Thomas usually sat in a chair and played his electrified country guitar. It was the kind that had the deep melodic tone that would send your consciousness to thinking about calm streams and flowered meadows. Mrs. Thomas would stand by his side as he strummed the chords, and she sang the verses in a most comforting tone. The refrain is one we likely remember. Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I was always so deeply touched by the way the Thomases played this most wondrous hymn, expressing a profound measure of great pleasure and comfort for all who heard. Yet what also made such an impressionable impact upon me in those teenage years was to watch, as Sunday after Sunday, when the Thomases departed the church, Mr. Thomas always, always walked with his wife to the passenger door and opened the door for her, and only then he proceeded to the driver's side. Not once in all those years did I ever see Mrs. Thomas have the need to open her own car door. The Thomases, in their presentation of this old gospel hymn, were the sound and voice of God's grace. In their actions, they were the living testimony of God's great grace for one another and for everyone else who witnessed their great love for one another and for God. Indeed, as Mr. and Mrs. Thomas walked a closer walk with God and with one another, may we be inspired to do the same, even as we sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee as our communion hymn. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn number 557.
Oh,
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Mary leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather for communion with our church family, we want to say thank you for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross to save us from our sins. We sincerely appreciate it. And in your name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. It is in thanksgiving that we offer our tithes and offerings before God for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dearly Father, we're so grateful of where we stand here in this community. We're grateful for the signs around us daily of you and your love for us, for the beauty of our lives with you and the sacrifices that you made. And we're so grateful for this wonderful, wonderful giving community and congregation that we have. And we ask as we take these offerings and these blessings that you would not only bless the givers, but bless those who are receiving, that they know there is love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'll share our scripture text with you a little later in the message, so may we proceed with our prayer. Merciful and loving God, as you have given us a supreme example of your great love, first through the law of Moses and then through your Son, Jesus, may we also be inspired by the guidance given to us through your word, so that our lives can be a living testimony to others of your great desire to share equality and joy and peace with one another. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The golden rule, you probably know it, and you can say it with me, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The question is it the principle that you live by, or maybe even more importantly, is it the principle that other people would think you live by, right? One person lived so closely by the golden rule that his nickname became Golden Rule Jones. His first name was Samuel, and Samuel's family immigrated to the United States from Wales in 1849. But his father's day laborer and stonemason work and being a tenant farmer was not enough to help make ends meet. So Samuel went to work rather than go to school. At 10 years of age, Samuel knew what it was like to work hard. As a farm laborer, his day began at 4 o'clock in the morning and continued until sundown every day. In 1856, he made a meager $3 a month for his daily labors, but this helped his family. At 14, Samuel was able to find work in a sawmill. This paid considerably more than a farm laborer, and during 3 summers, he was a helper in the engine room of a steamboat plying the Black River. This was hot and dirty work, but with it, he learned some very basic and important mechanical skills. Those skills gave him the opportunity at the age of 19 to work in the fledgling oil fields of western Pennsylvania, the birthplace of the American oil industry, when the landmark Drake Well was drilled just 6 years previously in the year 1859. Sam Jones became a jack of all trades around the oil rig. He was a driller, a pipeliner, he ran pump engines and dress tools. And those of us who have lived around oil fields and the industry, we know what all that means. He learned the ropes, kept his eye on opportunities for advancement, and saved all the money he could. After 5 years in 1870, he had accumulated enough money and knowledge to go into business for himself. But in starting his own business, he never forgot his early struggles. He'd spent enough time out of work or sweating at low-paying jobs to make him acutely aware of the difficulty that working men faced in providing for their families. A person of earnest faith, Sam Jones was guided by the principles of the Golden Rule. From 1875 to 1892, Sam went through many personal joys and also sorrows. His first wife and one of his children died. He then remarried and moved to his second wife's hometown of Toledo, Ohio. Oil deposits had been discovered in Ohio, and the company that he founded in 1887, simply called Ohio Oil, became successful, pumping half of all the oil produced in Ohio and the state of Indiana. In 1889, his company was purchased by Standard Oil, leaving Samuel Jones as a very rich and very successful man. Of course, if you know some of the history of the United States about Standard Oil, you know they were gobbling up all kinds of companies. And in 1894, Sam patented a new kind of iron pumping rod used to lift oil out of the ground. You know what they are? Little arms that go back and forth like this. You know, when folks are out there traveling across the country and they say, "What is that?" Well, we know they're not from the area, right? And he called that company the Acme Sucker Rod Company. It too, very successful company. But the creed for the company was making men is the most important objective. Making money is secondary. He refused to employ children. He instituted an 8-hour workday. Every employee received a week's annual paid vacation. Christmas bonuses were equal to 5% of an employee's salary. He subsidized a cooperative insurance company. He hosted and paid for company picnics, concerts, and lectures, and visited with his employees at these events. He built the Golden Rule Hall as a meeting place and dining facility with meals provided at less than cost. He constructed Golden Rule Park and a playground used by the workers and the families. He formed the 30-piece Golden Rule Band, paying for members' uniforms and instruments with company profits that he claimed were the product of our common toil. Believing in the gospel, Sam Jones wrote inspirational songs for the band about peace and brotherhood. And he ignored the well-established rule of business, inquiring into every man's history before giving that person employment. Once writing that, "We simply took him in and assumed for the time being that he was a man and undertook, so far as we could know, to treat him as a brother. In other words, he gave a lot of men a second chance. As Paul Martin wrote about Golden Rule Jones in his book Secret Heroes, he said, "With his lively blue eyes and genial expression, the brawny mustached former roustabout came across as disarmingly frank whenever he spoke in public, always talking from the heart in direct, simple language." In 1897, Sam became mayor of Toledo, Ohio. What you may not know is that it was the fastest growing city in the United States from 1880 until 1900. As mayor, Golden Rule Sam implemented 8-hour workdays for city workers, established a minimum wage, built playgrounds and free kindergartens, and worked to provide safe, clean living conditions in an effort to overcome the urban blight that many poor immigrants of the day lived in. In 1904, Sam Jones died unexpectedly at the age of 57 while serving in his second term as mayor. You know, there's no telling how much more influence he could have had if he had just had the opportunity to live longer. Yet consider the significant impact that he did have as Golden Rule Jones. The next time you work an 8-hour day and then go home, or you take a paid vacation, or you use health insurance, of which part is paid for by the company that you work for. Because of his Christian faith, Samuel Jones steadfastly lived by the Golden Rule: do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Sadly, today, many people think the Golden Rule is he who has the gold, what? Makes the rules. But like Samuel Jones, we as believers, we are challenged by what the scriptures say about the Golden Rule. We go to the Old Testament, and we know that the Hebrew people were called to treat others, especially foreigners, orphans, and widows, with utmost respect and care, because the Hebrews were to remember that at one time they too had been slaves. The text from Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, 17th verse and continuing: "Do not deprive foreigners and orphans of their rights, and do not take a widow's garment as security for a loan. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God set you free. That is why I have given you this command. And when you gather crops and fail to bring in some of the grain that you have cut, do not go back for it. It is to be left on for the foreigners, the orphans and widows, so that the Lord will bless you in everything you do." Who was one of those biblical people who gathered that grain behind the harvesters? What was her name? Ruth, thank you. Right, absolutely. "When you have picked your olives once, do not go back and get those that are left. They are for foreigners, orphans, and widows." Excuse me. "And when you have gathered your grapes once, do not go back over the vines a second time. The grapes that are left are for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. Never forget that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I have given you this command." That concept of that kind of grace and dignity for other people is so important. It is repeated not only in that text, but in Exodus chapter 22 and Leviticus 19. Then we come to the Gospels, and we know that as a part of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "Do for others what I want them to do, what you want them to do for you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets." And so from that text, we get what we call what? the golden rule. We are challenged to live by this principle, mindful that Samuel Jones, the tenets of the Old Testament, and even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ call us to live by this distinctive principle day after day. And in so doing, who knows just how much influence we might have in the world. And so, where did your 8-hour workday come from? Where did your paid vacation come from? Where did your benefits come from? All because one man aspired to live by what? The golden rule. Right. Where are you in your faith? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 339. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Just As I Am. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and Jonathan and Gail, thank you so much for your assistance in the service today. A couple of reminders, pictures immediately after our service here. If you've not had your photographs taken for the new directory, that is immensely helpful for us. Just go downstairs and Doug and Cindy will be more than happy to help you with that journey. Again, remember also this afternoon, 4 o'clock, the church picnic. If we do get one of those little thunderstorms rumbling through, well, we'll just go into the fellowship hall, but we'll enjoy a time of fellowship. So hope you'll join us. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to truly live the golden rule, that we may be an inspiration to others as we journey forth in life. For this privilege, we give thanks as we depart from your house. Amen.